This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And this week we're going to be covering Season 1, Episode 2, entitled Guts. I think we're going to stick with this standard just recap format here. We don't really have any feedback.
No.
We don't have any news. Everything we would cover would be old news. We don't want to give you that.
But we do have spoilers, so here's the thing.
Sure, yeah.
We keep all our spoilers protected beyond the wall of music at the end of the cast. So after we say goodbye and we do our show notes and we kick it to spoilers, you'll have like 20 seconds of music that you can bail if you don't want to hear the spoilers.
And if you don't want spoilers, you better bail
and
because
spoilers,
we get into spoilers.
Because spoilers consist basically of what we think about this episode with the hindsight of seeing all of Season 1 and Season 2.0.
And reading some of the comics.
Yeah,
so all that stuff. Yeah, all that is very scary to people who don't want spoilers.
Right.
So stay out.
Yep.
Okay,
did
let's
you pimp, did you pimp the music link?
I did not. It is my brother's band called Mysteriana. You can find it at mysterianamusic.com. They've got the full four-minute theme song that they wrote for our show.
And there are other musical offerings.
And yeah, they have an album out that you can buy there and through Amazon and iTunes and stuff like that. So
hell yeah.
If you like their stuff, go check it out. Okay, recap
link,
time.
We also link to it in our show notes each and every episode.
We do that. Recap time.
Yes.
Okay. So it opens up with Dale keeping watch over the camp.
And boy, I rest easy knowing that his eagle eyes are watching out for
I
all
do
of us.
Too, because, yeah, he's going to be a good lookout, I can tell.
Yeah.
So he's watching over the camp, and did you notice the gratuitous shots of Amy's ass and cleavage right up front?
Oh, you mean did I notice the steady cam that followed her over about 100 yards of ass swinging?
Uh-huh,
yeah, I did notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then zoomed right down her shirt when it got her from the other side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
weird.
Here's the thing. Not a lot of room for eye candy in this show.
That's true. Because Andrea.
You got Morgan's recently deceased wife, and is her name, what's her name? Amy what? Amy Smart?
No,
her name,
no.
Her name on the show
her
is
Amy. Her
name
is Amy on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and her.
She does look a little like Amy Smart, but.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Anyhow.
But, yeah, Andrea's not going to make up the slack there, so.
Right.
Got to have Amy. And then Lori heads out into the woods.
Because she's a. What does she call herself? Mushroom Queen? She's a self-proclaimed Mushroom Queen.
Is that what she said?
I thought so.
I think you're on the mushrooms, man.
No, they were talking
about...
No,
I think you're right.
Yeah, that was her excuse to go be stalk-raped by Shane.
Yeah, so was that under the guise of collecting food for the group?
Yeah.
She was going to go find a shitload of... Mushrooms don't have much nutrition, by the way.
Really?
No. They're almost nutritionless. She would need a shitload of mushrooms to feed that group.
I don't know if all that's
true.
Yeah,
you can look that up, but I'm telling you.
Do you think your average Atlantean's going to know that?
Probably not. Anyway, as you were saying, Shane stalks Lori like a super creep. And it seems like a really bad idea to be in this situation. Like, why would you want to do it in zombie-infested woods? I understand that's the only place they really can. But it just seems like a bad idea. Like, Lori couldn't even hear Shane stalking her when they weren't doing it.
Right.
So Shane's focus is going to be elsewhere, obviously.
Right.
Zombies could just come up right behind you and chow down.
Well, I mean, come on now. You don't think that when they're actually doing it in the middle of the forest floor, that's not going to be a problem either? I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were about the hide and seek part of it.
No.
This whole thing is a bad idea.
Yeah, the whole thing, top to bottom, terrible idea. And of course, they have to show just how I don't know how dirty Lori's being here, because her husband is still out there, and whether or not she knows that, they zoom in on the ring to really show you, hey.
And they both are like, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
they continue making out.
yeah.
Shane's so. Tongue and her navel wins her over.
yeah. No, awesome.
I find Shane gross at this point. I didn't, when I was watching this, I noticed that I was a hell of a lot less judgy watching this the first time through. We can talk a little bit this in the spoilers. I'm going to flag this to talk about in spoilers, but
okay.
I found that this wasn't as this whole thing wasn't as offensive and disgusting the first time through. By the way, according to Wikipedia, dietary mushrooms are a good source of B vitamins such as riboflavin, niacin, and pantothenic acid.
How many
and
calories in a mushroom?
Essential minerals: selenium, copper, and potassium. However, fat, carbohydrate, and calorie content are low.
Yeah.
Total
yeah.
absence of vitamin C and sodium.
Yeah, so you can't live on vitamins alone.
But you get 2.5 grams of protein per serving. That's not bad.
Wow.
You gotta have protein.
You gotta have a bunch of muscle men running around those woods once Lori's done right. humping and feeding them. let's move on. So, in the next scene, Rick is in the tank, and Glenn is basically saying, hey, get out of there. I'm gonna guide you to safety.
And this is the first time I think we've heard them referred to as, the zombies referred to as geeks.
Geeks, yeah.
Which didn't last very long either.
No, surprisingly, they don't
like in this
really
episode,
refer to zombies as anything but walkers now, right?
Yeah, I mean, in this episode this is about 50-50 walker versus geeks. Mm-hmm. And then they just dropped it. Now, as a geek, I find this offensive.
Do you? Really?
Not really.
I think you're lying to me.
I'm surprised Glenn went along with it, because he's manifestly a geek. He's a geek's geek.
Yeah, he is. I don't know. That's kind of a thing in the zombie world. They refer to them as geeks.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has been for a while.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
About a year of zombie historianship.
Yeah. I know a little bit about zombies. So I thought it was funny when Glenn says that the bag is not an option. He doesn't tell Rick, oh, it's surrounded by fucking zombies. They're everywhere.
Right.
He says, not an option.
Right.
So, of course, when Rick gets out of the tank, he immediately jumps off and sprains his ankle. Well, does this have to happen to every person who is
that's
running?
That's the thing, because it's like, it seems like an able-bodied man running through this would be scary enough. Why you got to go... Did you notice that he kept that limp throughout the episode?
Did he actually?
Towards the end of the episode, he was limping, but I thought maybe he was just acting like that. I mean, they had no trouble taking off on a full-fledged sprint at the end of the episode. So
yeah.
I think, yeah, I'm getting a little tired of every single time they jump from 6 feet, you hear the, you know.
yeah. And
the Foley artist getting the cellar out and crunching it.
Yeah.
A couple things, though, that we might want to keep in mind for later is that Rick got a gun off the soldier and a grenade.
Yes.
And a shovel. I don't know if the shovel's so important, but the grenade, definitely.
He splits up in a zombie's face with it.
That was pretty cool.
horrific effect. I mean, the guys who do the effects, Greg Nicotero and crew, oof.
Yeah.
They get me every time.
I liked Glenn jumping out of the alley and like, not dead, not dead, which that was really well filmed.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just a kind of a POV shot of Rick killing zombies and then turning that corner. And then, I mean, Glenn's lucky he didn't get plugged.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Definitely. So then when Rick does rendezvous with Glenn, they go back. They climb up the building and go back to the group who's in a department store. And they let the zombies do a little window shopping.
Yeah. Now,
you want to talk about your problems with that?
Well, I mean, here's my thing. Is it just me or did Glenn grow like 5 years between season one and season two? He looked like a kid in this episode, and then somehow in season two, he kind of looks like a young man.
Botox? Yeah.
Reverse Botox?
yeah, no.
They pulled the naturally occurring Botox out of his face so he aged more rapidly. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I was saying they built up his frame with Botox, like all over his body.
The other thing I noticed is as soon as they established Andrea as a gun nut,
yeah,
and I talk about this later on in the series, but like, count how many times Andrea threatens someone in her own group with a gun.
Yeah,
like she's right up there with Merle, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, it seems like at the beginning that they're going to wisely stay out of sight because they like see that the zombies are beating on the windows, and they all say, oh, that's a bad idea, so they clear out of the front room, which is smart. Mm. You don't want to antagonize the zombies. I mean, they're stupid. Half of them are going to forget why they're banging on the window and leave.
Yeah, sure.
So...
But speaking of Merle, they go up on the roof because they hear a couple gunshots from the outside. And Merle's up there. He's just shooting off a few rounds, popping a few zombies in the head. Mm-hmm. Obviously cranked on something. I think it's cocaine, right? Is that what he pulls out? Because he says you got a little on your nose there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can do, you can snort heroin like that.
You can you?
Snort wow. I mean, you can snort a lot of different things.
Ah, I know about the zombies. You know about the
maybe
drugs.
Maybe some of our meth heads.
Dynamic duo.
That are they're still listening from Breaking Good can let us know the likely thing, what popper or whatever he was using in there.
Definitely. Snorting mushrooms.
First of all, what do you think about the group? Because Rick, at this point, tries to tell them a little bit about why he was in the city, and he says, I was chasing down that helicopter. Mm-hmm. They're openly skeptical of the existence of this helicopter.
Yeah, well, I think they haven't seen any signs of life.
That kind of speaks to how widespread the devastation and how long.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good point.
It seems like it's been a couple weeks at this point, because if it had just been like the mm-hmm. first week, you know, nobody would be like, helicopter, what? You know?
Yeah.
It's been, if you've gone several weeks without seeing air traffic, then it'd be a little bit skeptical.
For sure. So, staying up on the roof for a second, Rooker is amazing, is he not?
He does wade through a lot of humanity in this
He
scene.
Is devastating fools on the roof, right? Taking on 3-4 guys, the sheriff, just mowing people down. And his acting is so good, too.
Oh, yeah. One thing I noticed, too, is that, and I'm not trying to defend Merle.
Sure.
But I did notice watching this episode, T-Dog swung first.
Oh.
Merle was keeping this all, like, you know, words, but kind of offensive words, and T-Dog's the one that actually took the swing. And I don't know, swinging on a guy with a gun, that doesn't seem like it's a smart idea, especially one jacked out on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, Merle's definitely provoking him, for sure. But you're right, why swing at the guy with the gun who's obviously not in his right mind.
Right.
Like, crazy.
Right.
But then Merle gets the middle finger from Jackie. I like that.
Right.
And the interaction between Merle and Rick is so good here. When he clobbers him with the gun and he handcuffs him to the thing and he tells him how it's going to be, I just love their interactions.
Yeah, they also nailed in a way they did that this show, I think, is going to struggle to do throughout the series, but they did a good job of nailing the motivations for their main character here. He pretty much sums it up. I'm a man trying to get to my wife and son. Any man getting in the way of that's going to lose.
Yeah.
That's Rick in the first three episodes of this, in the first few episodes of the season. And I think that they kind of, wherever possible, need to make sure that we as a viewer have that kind of clarity of purpose with the characters.
Yeah, definitely. So moving on to the next scene, the group is planning their escape from both the roof and the basement.
What do you think of, speaking of Rooker, what do you think of Merle's, like, ham-fisted attempts to seduce Andrea?
Hilarious.
Hey, sugar tits, why don't you let me out of here? We'll go off and bump some uglies.
Yeah, I mean, in what world does that work?
Right. I feel like...
we're going to die anyway.
Some of my female friends have OkCupid accounts. They're like, you know, dating profiles, a site. And probably 9/10 of the messages they get from men read like they're sent from Merle. Merle.
Yeah.
Hey, sugar tits, want to go out on a date sometime? Let me... here's a picture of my junk. And then when they're like, go fuck off, the next message is like, oh, you must be some kind of fat rug muncher bitch.
Yeah. It's like, which is exactly what Merle
does.
I'm
telling you, I think Merle is 9/10 of the dating men on internet date sites.
He is Michael Rooker, actually.
He is.
Yeah. In character, just out there sending messages. So Glenn definitely seems to have tactical chops.
Yeah, this is the first time I see it.
He's explaining some serious strategy down in the basement.
I guess that's second time, because he also had this same kind of flair when he was guiding Rick. You know, he came up with that plan and executed it.
And he knew not to go for the guns. Like, they're not worth it.
Right.
He knew to keep the guy with the gun at the store to guard. He knew not to take a bunch of people with him so he could get back through the tunnels if he needed to. Pretty smart. Pretty smart.
Yeah, and Jackie pitched in with her knowledge of, I guess, civil engineering.
Yeah.
The way the buildings were built by code. Their plan, and what's interesting about this is it didn't go anywhere. Like, this was
a 10-minute
plot of the show that was just kind of filler, because they went down to the tunnels, and they got accosted by a zombie behind bars. It wasn't really a threat, and then they ran back.
So this gave them time to basically show
Rick and
Merle
Andrea.
And T-Dog and Rick and Andrea. Yeah. What was Rick and Andrea's conversation about? Because I don't remember that.
It was about her sister Amy and how she's still a kid in a lot of ways, and she's the big sister looking after her, and how she likes mermaids. And
mermaids, then
Then she committed some larsony.
Looting. She stole.
In front of a sheriff.
And Rick told her how to use a gun properly.
Which, by the way, I guess Rick's idea, because Glenn, in giving his tactical situation, said, hey, I want you up front with the gun, you know, covering in case those zombies come in. So Rick's idea of covering is to flaunt his juicy white ass.
His white meat. Yeah.
Yeah, in front of this herd of zombies between the glass and him. Like, what?
Smart.
There's got to be a choke point. Like, you know, the show floor doesn't just immediately lead to the warehouse. There has to be several different doors. Why can't you secure them? And then if you have to, shoot the zombies at the choke point instead of just provoking them. Because, again, these zombies...
You have a huge problem with this.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, I mean, the only reason you can hold out at all is that the glass is going to hold up. So why antagonize the zombies? Because they visibly get more irritated when there's a human right in front of them.
They do, yeah.
They get excited.
And when they bust through that first layer of windows, why do you not immediately start running?
Right.
What's to make you think that they can't bust through that second? Especially when the guy's got a rock held above his head.
Right.
Crazy.
The other thing is, in downtown Atlanta, I would think that some of these department stores would have, like, the, you know,
bars on the windows.
That you could, but, you know, regardless.
Or bulletproof glass or something.
Probably
not the one they're holed up in, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the scene where Rick and Andy explore the department store. But then back out on the roof with Merle and T-Dog, why do they leave these two guys on the roof by themselves? The two guys with the biggest beef
in
the group.
Because Asians are ignorant of racial tensions between white rednecks.
But what about Rick? Why is Rick allowing this to happen?
I mean, I think this is how the writers wanted it.
I get that you want some tension between these characters, but it just seems like a bad... I would never leave those two alone after the provocation earlier and the confrontation.
And also the dialogue doesn't really go anywhere. I mean,
that's true.
When Merle's like, you know, hey, just because our species aren't... our kind, our races aren't meant to mix with
intermingle,
each other.
Yeah, whatever he says.
But we can still work out when it comes to, you know, treat and... what's that pirate term? Parlay.
Yeah.
They still parlay when it suits a mutual benefit. So it's like, T-Dog's clearly not buying any of that garbage.
Of course. Why would he?
The other interesting thing we found out about the Rick and Andrea conversation is that Andrea, she might be a gun nut, but she doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Exactly. He has to tell her how to take the safety off.
I wasn't really worried about you shoot me in the face because the gun's still on safe.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you know, we learned that that's, you know, the gun was given to her. Did she actually say it was from her father?
Yeah, I think so.
So, which is kind of important later. You might want to hold on to that.
Spoilers. Next scene, Glenn and Julio. Is that his name, Julio?
I don't know.
I'm not going to call him Taco Bender like Merle did.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fitting. We'll go with Julio for now. Glenn and Julio find...
Or is it Jorge?
Jorge? It might be Jorge. We'll go with Jorge.
Okay.
Glenn and Jorge find the Rat King in the sewer. They get to the end of the sewer. It's blocked off, and there's a zombie eating a rat there. And here's where you really talked about the Foley artist.
With
the zombie noises.
This inside Foley artist basically is the term for someone that's creating a special effect that... Or a sound effect.
Yeah, the audio.
That was not present on the set.
Yeah.
So if, like, you hear a bone break, that's some guy in a Foley studio with a microphone in front of celery snapping it.
Yep.
Or if you hear people walking on sand, they have, like, all these different devices where they simulate these sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody has got, what do you think, like a bowl full of pudding?
Yeah,
that they're
just
slapping
pumping
with spatulas
their fist into it.
And, yeah.
I don't know what kind of device makes that noise, but it's horrific.
They're like shooting their hands through Jell-O. I mean, I guess that would make a nice little disgusting thing there.
It definitely would. Then the zombies go window shopping again for Rick and Andrea. This is the scene that we were talking about earlier,
right?
Where it's dumb to stand in front of them. And then they have a rooftop powwow where they get everybody together, and they say, hey, we got to get out of here. And there was some weird conversation here. Like, I didn't understand how they were so sure that the zombies smelled them.
Yeah.
Like, Andrea knew 100%. She was certain. Yeah. The zombies smell us. They smell dead. They smell alive.
The zombie signs didn't really add up. Like, I don't know whether, because it seems like they're just like, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to bet your life on that.
No,
like,
not at all.
Hunch. I just looked up. This guy's name is Morales.
That's his name in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to say that. Jorge it is.
Jorge it is.
I can't remember Morales.
Right.
All right, I'll try it. Anyway, yeah, so they seem pretty sure about that. And then we get to the guts scene. This is probably one of my favorite scenes in the series so far. It's so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to know, there's some dumb stuff in here, too. Why the hell does Rick want people to get to know this guy before they chop him up?
Yeah, they bring the wallet, and he's going to tell his family about, I'm going to tell my family about Wayne.
About the dude I chopped up and rubbed on my body. That's horrific. Like,
you're going to tell your son that during the camp, you know, around the campfire?
Yeah.
Would you also, I thought it was really funny, though, that Glenn, after he had this, like, kind of overblown bullshit scene, he's like, oh, by the way, he's also an organ donor.
Yeah.
And the next thing you see them, they're walking out the door with his hands around their neck.
Yeah.
And their feet dangling.
Entrails. Yeah, it's horrible.
Now, also, at this point in the episode, or in the series, they're still very worried about getting the zombie shit on their skin or in their eyes.
Yep.
Apparently, you know, in nasal or mouth cavity is A-okay.
Yeah, and that is just a spoiler because we don't actually know, like, what turns you into a zombie yet.
Right, and honestly, I'm just saying at this point, they're really super concerned about keeping kind of clean and sterile about it.
Yeah, yeah. Except for Andrea, who tucks a gun into Glenn's waistband, smears her hand up and down his chest.
Not wearing a glove. Right?
No gloves. Yeah.
Ugh.
Dumb. So once they get sufficiently covered.
Do you find that your experience with Andrea is colored by what you know about her later?
A little bit, yeah.
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 I found that going through the second time that I was more hostile to several characters just because I'm like, oh, God, you're so dumb.
Yeah.
Even though they haven't really ripened the full dumbness yet.
It's hard to help that leaking into these reviews, so bear with us. But then once they're sufficiently covered with zombie guts, they walk out into the streets, and this was a pretty creepy scene. I mean, they're crawling under a bus, then they get into this giant pack of zombies.
Did you see how this formed? Like one of the zombies was walking on his ankle sideways, like the foot was just snapped.
I think that was Rick, actually. That's what happened to his ankle.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, but it was a really creepy scene before it started to rain, and then it turned into an action scene, which was cool. Yeah, I guess that doesn't happen yet, because we go back to where Dale is keeping watch, or repairing the RV is what
he's real
doing
repairing
there.
Or fake repairing?
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's actually repairing something.
Right? You'll hear a lot. Yeah. You'll hear a lot about this goddamn RV hose. You'll be sick to death of this RV hose by the time you're done with season two, listeners.
Definitely. So then T-Dog calls on the radio to basically say
Let's
we're all
about
dying.
This conversation Amy had with Shane. Because, you're getting there. Gotcha.
It happens next.
Yep.
So why does T-Dog call to say we're all dying?
Well, I think Rick and or Glenn told him to keep trying.
Yeah, but it just seems like a bad idea to make them want to come into Atlanta where you are being eaten by zombies. I mean, I know they're not being eaten, but he says we're overrun.
Yeah.
He says we've got nowhere to go.
Especially since they're right in the middle of a plan to get out of that. It seems like a very... Maybe they shouldn't give it to someone like as panicky as T-Dog. Because he's just basically like, we are all going to die. It's hopeless. Game over, man.
Yeah.
Game over. He was like Hicks from Aliens.
He definitely was. Yeah.
It's game over, man.
So that seemed a little frantic for their current situation.
I thought so, too.
But I am not a big fan of Shane's acting in this episode.
Mm.
Later on, it becomes better, in my opinion. But in this episode, I didn't like it. When he was telling Amy, look, she knew the risks. She volunteered for this. We can't go after her. It's more important to stay here.
Now, this is another theme that's in the show, that Shane always puts survival over emotion.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to hear your shit about your sister and all that kind of stuff. It's like, we're not going to risk 30 people to save six. It's just math to him.
Yeah.
It's survival
math. That makes sense to me.
Now, I think the one blind spot he has there is with Rick's family. Like, he would, Lori or Carl, he would risk a little bit more than that. But for the rest of the group, fuck no. He's not going to put himself out when the numbers don't make sense.
Yeah, and he doesn't want them to either.
Right.
So, I think it's pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to the next scene. Glenn and Rick get caught in the rain, and then they steal a couple cars to make their getaway. I don't have a whole lot to say about this. It was a cool action scene.
Yeah, what do you think about the rain, though? I mean, why would that work? I know it's straight
why
from
would
the comic.
Wash off the
I mean,
smell?
This whole part is straight from the comic. It seems like okay, you cover me the cadaver's guts that stink in the high heaven.
Yeah.
And you blast me with a garden hose. It seems like I'm still going to come out of there stinking like dead corpse.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like skunk.
A box of Tide. And
you need to burn those clothes. That's what you need to do.
Right?
Yeah, and then to make take a tomato juice bath.
Which they do. They take off those overcoats with the quickness as soon as they get over that fence.
Yeah, I would too.
What do you think about the climbing zombies?
Dangerous. I mean, they didn't climb the ladder, which was a little weird. I wonder if...
I think they started... I believe that they started to. They showed one guy, working at one rung. And I don't think a zombie could make it up. They're not coordinated to make it up.
Yeah.
Like a six-story ladder that they ended up climbing.
But that's the thing about the fence. They also had a line of zombies just kind of boosting other zombies over.
That's
so they
true.
Didn't have to really climb with much dexterity. They could just kind of get help from the other zombies.
Right. I was just surprised because in the pre-season hype, they said, you know, they had like Bible for the zombies or what rules are going to obey. And I thought it was kind of like, is it the Max Brooks? Is that the World War Z guy?
Yep.
I thought it's kind of like a Max Brooksian, the zombies can't really do a coordinated, you know, higher function thing like climbing. They can walk and they can do a shambling gait, you know, but they can't really... sprint and they can't climb fences. So I was kind of surprised to see some of that behavior.
Yeah, and they can use basic tools as well.
Apparently,
obviously.
I mean,
they
pick up a rock and they understand that part. They can open doors.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about Glenn's driving in this scene? I think he's both an erratic driver and a stunt driver at the same time.
Yeah, because he can't keep it straight on the goddamn road, but then he pulls a Rockford at command.
Yeah.
Or is that a rock? No, it's Rockford Files, right? That's where the credit sequence is showing backing up, and then he whips it around. And
I guess. I'm
anytime
sure they do it in like
back
Magnum
up
PI
at full
too.
Speed, cut the wheel over, and peel, and spin 180 degrees, and then go forward. That's a Rockford.
Okay.
Pulling a Rockford.
Nice.
Have you ever pulled a Rockford?
No, I have not.
Really?
I've never had cause to.
Well, when we get a little bit of snow, we're going to go out to a parking lot and pull some Rockfords.
My car is bad enough in snow. I could do it right now, actually. Anyway, yeah. So, stunt driver Glenn. Good to know. He's leading all the zombies right back to camp.
I also like Panic Andrea. They're leaving us. Oh, no. They're coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, she freaked out when they...
Her first thought is this cop is just going to take off, and them and Glenn are like, yeah, screw you suckers.
Did she not see the huge crowd of zombies between them and the cars?
She's just a panicker.
Apparently so. So then the group does leave without Merle. They go to make the rendezvous with the truck. And T-Dog drops a key. I want to talk a little bit in spoilers about this.
T-Dog was going to come back and... I guess let Merle go, and he muffs the key, and that's kind of nice slow motion sequence you see go down the drain. It was irretrievable.
Again, why send the guy with the biggest beef up to get Merle loose?
And why give T-Dog the key?
I guess that was Rick's way of letting T-Dog decide whether or not he was going to live or die.
I don't know. That's a little judge, jury, execution to me. I would have given it to... Andrea. Man,
she
should have
just hung on to it.
Maybe he gave it to the coolest head.
No, come on. T-Dog swung first.
Yeah, but still, you know, I guess...
The coolest head might have been...
Jorge?
Morales. Yeah.
Morales?
Jorge.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have been the coolest head.
I think so.
Who knows?
None of this would ever happen if they had given the cooler head, if the cooler head had prevailed.
Anyway, so yeah, then Glenn lures the zombies away. Right as they bust into the store.
Yeah, also Glenn, he acted like he had windows in that car. Like he was letting the zombies borderline swarm his car, and all one of them had to do is reach in there and bite him, and his game over.
Yeah, the whole time I was thinking, dude, you are missing a window. Get out of there.
He thought he was playing Portal.
What are you going to do?
Awesome. I did like the shot of Merle on the roof after he's like trying to bust out of his cuffs.
Yeah, he loses his shit up there.
He loses his shit, and then there's this cool like double pullback shot that you get where it shows like more and more of the city, and he's totally isolated and alone up there.
On that.
And that's kind of, it's not a trope, but it's kind of something that they do a lot in zombie and horror movies.
Right.
Is just to show that sort of isolation.
Sure.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And then Glenn speeds out of the city. There's the shot of Atlanta again that we got in the first episode.
Ringing the dinner bell.
Yeah, and loving every minute of it.
Yeah, he's the one lecturing on how they hear noises and they key in noises, and now he's going to take that shit right back to the camp. Yay.
Yep, and that's the end of the episode.
Yep.
I think we blitzed that one.
Yeah, we did. So if you want to keep up with us, see all of our podcasts and all of our different shows like Breaking Good, Justified, Walking Dead, Mad Men, Game of Thrones, et cetera, you can find that at baldmove.com. If you have some feedback for us, we probably won't get to it during this season, but if you want to give us feedback for season 2.5 that's coming up in February, you can send us mail at watchingdead@baldmove.com. You can also give us feedback at facebook.com/baldmove and follow our tweets at Twitter @baldmove. And those are really good ways if you want to know the instant our podcast drops or you just want to give us a shout out or share a link with us. Those are really good ways to do that. If you want to support us, two really good ways. Number one, leave us five star reviews on our iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Even if you don't use iTunes, because those things kind of give us lift in the iTunes rankings.
Yeah, it exposes us to a broader audience.
Gives us more people to listen to our content. And if you want to directly contribute to us, use our Amazon affiliate link at amazon.baldmove.com. And again, can't stress enough, that costs you nothing. There's nothing added to your order. It just gives us a little bit of kickback from Amazon for sending you there.
Yep.
So if you're going to be spending money on Amazon anyway, go to amazon.baldmove.com, not just amazon.com, and help us out. Help us pay for the bandwidth.
Yep, we appreciate it. And that's it for this episode. We will see you guys in episode 3.
We got some spoilers, right?
Yeah, if you want to stick around for those, stick around after the music. But until next time, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you guys later.
And we're back with the spoiler section. What do we have to talk about in the spoilers?
Well, I was going to say that this is kind of a theme. I don't know why, but Shane is irritating the shit out of me watching him for a second time around. Like when he goes and this kind of like stalk rapes Lori.
Yeah, because you know the rape is coming later.
Right. The attempted rape's coming later, and he kind of turns into this amoral shitbag. At first, like I was getting the benefit of the doubt of like, okay, well, I'm not there. I'm the buddy, and I've been around Lori, and, you know, maybe I've had the secret thing for her, but Rick's been there, and but also it's, like, all confusing, and so much emotion. You want to turn to someone for support. Maybe get down on your buddy's wife, especially if you think he's dead. But the more I find out about Shane, the more I find out he's just a pragmatic bastard.
Yeah, and, I mean, it helps the group in a way, and it hurts them in another way.
Right.
I mean, he's definitely... I think keeping them on the right track. You don't want to risk 100 people for one.
Here's the thing. If Shane was in Rick's position and Shane was in the coma and he was there the last day and people are getting rounded up and shot, Rick would have tried to get Shane out of the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
Shane made a calculation and said, the chances of us both getting out of here with his unconscious body are nil. Yeah. I'm going to go and survive and then tell Lori he's dead. So I guess it colors how I feel about this guy. He just feels everything just feels scummier.
Yeah, but in a way, it's more rational than Rick. I mean, Rick is at all costs going to try to protect his friends.
Yeah, he's a hero.
Yeah, and whether that means walking straight into the face of danger, that's something that Shane wouldn't do. Mm. And I kind of respect Shane's opinion there, and I kind of respect Rick's for different reasons, you know?
Gotcha.
So it's hard to choose between them. Now, I got a question for you.
All right, because I got one for you after this.
All right. What do you think that it's been better for the group overall that T-Dog actually dropped that key and didn't release Merle?
Well,
has it caused them more trouble? Or because they had to go back to see that, hey, he's not there.
My thing is, there's a couple of ways to approach this. Number one, I think that if Merle's still in the group, Daryl would not have been as useful a character.
I
think getting Merle away from Daryl has allowed Daryl to kind of become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, you know, Merle was just batshit crazy and would have caused them problems down the line.
Can't be good, yeah.
The other shoe is I firmly believe Merle's going to pop back up and want revenge.
I actually hope it happens in season 2.5.
Yeah, because he is a tough bastard. Like, as we're going to find out in the next episode, or I think it's episode 4 maybe, he's an extraordinarily tough old bastard, and he's not going to be pleasant when he comes back for the group.
Definitely. But I think having a drug-crazed maniac in your group is not a good idea.
No.
I think he would have caused a lot of trouble.
At some point when Glenn said we need a distraction, I was literally like, if I was Rick, because I'm more of a Shane than a Rick type, not in the rape a girl, but in more of a like pragmatic bastard.
Yeah.
The second or Merle opened his mouth up next, which you'd only have to wait about 10 seconds for, I'd have just chucked his ass off the crowded side of the building.
Give the zombies a feast.
And as the zombies are feasting on that, you know, quietly slipped out the door.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
And, you know, it neatly would keep him from coming back to haunt my ass later, so.
Definitely.
Anyway, I have a question for you.
All right.
Rick gets the grenade.
Yes, he does.
In the very beginning of episode 2, we not see that grenade again until the end of episode 6.
Yeah.
Is it not kind of amazing almost. If we think of everything that happens in season 2, that Rick managed to hold on to that grenade?
Well, at one point he gives it to, what's her face?
Jackie?
No. Does he give it to Jackie? And Carol takes it off of her? Like when she leaves.
No, I think what happens is
because Carol's the one episode, who gets to
we're going to see Carol come up and say, "I cleaned all your clothes and I pressed them, and here I found this."
Okay, yeah, it's Carol. Does
he tell her to keep it? Then I was like, I'm just amazed that he, with everything they went through, that he didn't bring. Like when they went back in the city, why not bring the grenade?
Yeah.
I do think a fragmentation grenade is a shitty weapon to use against zombies.
Sure. It's not very effective.
No, not at all. No. So it's kind of glad. It's a damn good thing they did keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, they needed it. So I kind of liked seeing that so early, you know.
Yeah.
And then it kind of fell into the background. Nobody thought about it. And then all of a sudden at the end, there it is.
Because I'd forgotten about it. I was like genuinely kind of like, fuck, how are they going to get out of here?
Yeah.
With the CDC. So anyway, what else do we got?
That's all I've really got for spoilers. I mean, there are so many spoilers because we've seen so much now.
Right.
But, I mean, everybody else has seen this much, too. So.
And why do you think they made Andrea this failed gun nut? I mean, the thing is, in the comic book, she's a badass with a gun from the beginning. Like, why did they make her... I don't understand... I guess it was supposed to be character development, but just from my feelings and the feelings I get from people on the internet, they're not really pleased with what they're doing with their character. Like, you know, making her seem incompetent and all that kind of stuff.
I think that's going to get better now that she's really coming to her own as the gun nut.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, with Shane's guidance, I think she's doing a lot better in season 2. Than she was here in season 1 and the early half of season 2.
We'll see, because like Shane's guidance can lead you astray.
That's true. That's true. We will see.
But that's all the spoilers I got for this week.
All right, great. Well, then that is the end of the episode, and we will see you guys in episode 3.
See you next time.